Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down
at the Roundtable. Welcome back as we continue our discussion of our 11 shortlisted books for our 2021 NICE project. Let's move on to 100 Years of Solitude. This is a 1967 novel by Colombian author Gabriel Garcia Marquez, and it tells this multi-generational story of the Buendia family. It's a pretty famous book, I think. What do you think?
I know that it's on high school reading list. Now, I admittedly have never read it, but my brother, when he was in high school, had to read it. And of course, he didn't much care for reading assignments at the time, but his quote that I will never forget is, "It's called that because it takes 100 years of solitude to read." What appealed to me about it was it does seem to have an unusual structure to it. But also, we really haven't done too much with any authors that are from, you know, say Latin America or South America. We've delved a little bit into some of the mythology, but that's about all we've done.
Yeah. And this would be the one to choose because it is a novel that is often looked upon as one of the supreme achievements in literature, period, because of, you know, the way that it's written. It's kind of magical, realist style, but also it's an important representative novel of the Latin America boom of the 1960s and 70s, which was influenced by modernism and the Cuban vanguardia, the avant-garde of Cuban literary movement. So it's really, since it was first published in 1967, it's really been a hugely popular book. It's been translated into 46 languages, sold more than 50 million copies, one of which I own. I contributed to those sales. So, and it's considered the author's magnum opus. You know, it's really one of the biggest books in Hispanic literary canon and in world literature. So on just that alone, it's like a no-brainer for us to choose it at some point, you know, for our NICE project. It really does kind of hit all those really important things. If the pros on why we would choose it, it like you said, it would be one of our first Latin American authors. It's based on actual events. It's set in a fictitious family in a fictitious town, but it's based on actual events, which is, you know, reminiscent of a Gone with the Wind type story or a Little Women type story. It is very long, but it's actually pretty easy to read. It's not, at least the translation I have, the copy I have, it's translated from the Spanish by Gregory Rabassa, not knowing if I'm pronouncing any of these people's names right. And it is rather long. It is 417 pages long. My book has, you know, nice size print and everything. I think I got it at Barnes and Noble or something. It's one of the more easily available copies. I read this a long time ago, but I actually bought it several years ago. The cons art is a little long. And it's overall, it's kind of a depressing story. It's not a really, you know, it's not real happy. And it's got some pretty horrid graphic descriptions in it. So, you know, I don't know.
We're going to have to do some trigger warnings for.
Yeah, I think we would have to do some, you know, hey, this is not for children of a certain age. There's war, there's fighting, there's gypsies. And whenever there are gypsies, people are not nice to gypsies. So, you know, there's a lot of war. There's massacres. I mean, it's just kind of like, ooh. One of the massacres in the book is based on the banana massacre of 1928. So, you know, there are some pretty heavy thematic elements in terms of Colombian history, because the book, again, based on real events put into a fictional story, we would be, you and I would be dealing with actual history, like we when we discussed, for example, Gone with the Wind and Little Women in the Civil War and the issues of the Civil War in America. This would be a fictionalized novel that is based on real things that happened in Colombia. So we would have that challenge of kind of going from real history into the fictionalized version and trying to, you know, kind of see what the author was giving the world.
That sounds intriguing to me to research some of that history.
Yeah.
Something else that appeals to me about this book, even just from, you know, what I've read and the reviews of it, looks like it's a very fertile ground for exploring family.
Yeah, there's a lot about family in here. And even if you want to think of it in terms of like the roles in families, there's a lot going on that's generational. There's a lot of cultural traditions and norms that might seem a little strange or different than American cultures. There would be a lot to do with this. It's not a hard book to read. It's just got some unfamiliar aspects.
I think what could also be interesting is if we do choose 100 Years of Solitude and Sula, is comparing the structure of both of those, because they are unusual structures.
Yeah. Well, I feel like 100 Years of Solitude is not that different in structure. It's written, I mean, there's dialogue and there's descriptive passages, and it's fairly straightforward. Maybe I'm misunderstanding what you mean by structure.
Well, and again, this may be something that just from my again, I have not read it.
Yeah, all right.
You know, what I know about it has been more from, you know, just watching, you know, brief summaries and analysis of it. But I was thinking that it had kind of a circular structure to it, didn't it?
You mean like the story goes from the present to the past to the present? I don't remember that, but again, even though I own it, it's been a long time since I've read it.
I feel like I'm going to plead the fifth here, because having not read it and drawing on my memory from like 4 weeks ago,
yeah.
I don't want to give information to our readers which is incorrect.
Yeah, I mean, it crossed seven generations. It's not following those familial generations. That part is a little confusing for someone like me, who, you know, I'm not great with remembering whose grandfather was that, or, you know, and the relationships and everything. The history part of the book is fairly linear. Does that make sense? How it plays out is fairly linear. Now, a very interesting thing in this novel is that throughout the novel, the characters are visited by ghosts. So ghosts as symbols of the past, and, you know, the haunting nature of the past over these people is something that's a repetitive element of this story, which is very interesting. We haven't done a lot with ghosts, have we? I don't remember.
Sort of. I mean, the hints of the supernatural in Jane Eyre, but she's not really supernatural now, is she?
Right, true. Again, I feel like this is not an uplifting story. This is a fairly depressing story. The element of magical realism with which the author wrote it is probably one of the things that we could explore in our podcast in depth, because that's something that it's known for. That's why it's called an exemplary work of magical realism. Well, we got to look at that, right? What's magical realism? But we've got seven or eight generations in this book, you know, this style of writing in which the supernatural is presented as mundane. And the mundane is presented as supernatural or extraordinary. That's the magical realism. That makes it kind of an interesting possibility. Does that make sense? I'm not sure if
it does. Yeah. And as I'm trying to remember what, you know, the videos that I watched about this commented, I think the point they were trying to make is that the types of people in the generation tended to repeat themselves.
Yes.
And so in that sense, it was circular.
Yes. And it's also circular in the concept of time, or fluidity of time, I guess you could say. I mean, the story can be read in a linear progression of events, but within that, there's this fluidity of time because of the repetition of traits and things that keeps coming through in the history of the individual characters, and ultimately in the history of this fictional town. It flows, and, you know, the story looks at time timelessness or eternity and things like that. There's this laboratory that's in there, and there's all this weird stuff going on with this laboratory. And yeah, there's incest in this book. This is where I was thinking there's some themes that are a little bit harder to deal with. Elitism. We've got elitism in some of our other book choices too. So that's something we certainly could talk about. And like The Yellow Wallpaper, this book ultimately is about solitude. And so those connections between elitism, Tarzan of the Apes, this book, that would be interesting. Yellow Wallpaper, this book, that would be interesting for solitude. This is a good book to choose someday, if not this year, someday. I feel like I'm not quite as well prepared to really delve deeply into this book at this very moment in time as we record this. Could I get there fast enough? I don't know. You know, but there's a lot of meat on the bone for this book, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this book intrigues me because I have not read it. It's not rising to the top for me.
Right, yeah.
But it could at some point.
Yeah, and I almost feel like this book is almost like on the same level with Tale of Genji for me, in that I want to use those books in our project. I'm just not sure this year is the year I want to do that, mostly because I've not put in the work yet to make them successful. I don't feel like I would be able to talk about them in a way that they deserve without a little bit more work. As the two people who put on this project, it's our obligation to delve deeply in our choices. So I'm kind of with you, though. This is real high on the list, but maybe not as high as some of the others. I mean, it's obviously why it made it this far into our considerations. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's in our top 11 or whatever our number was. Any other thoughts?
Nope, none.
Join us next time as we continue our discussion of our 2021 NICE project.
This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org. We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.